Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast, episode 95. Today I'm going to talk about my uniform, which is just basically my concept for what I wear each year or season, because I just recently swapped everything out for myself and for the kids, and it got me thinking about the choices that I made and sharing them on here, and then also my reasoning behind having such a minimal wardrobe that fits on one side of an antique armoire. My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. This episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast is sponsored by Berkey Water Filters. We have had our Berkey Water Filter sitting on our counter for about 10 years now. When we were on city water back in our last house, it gave me such peace of mind to know that the Berkey was filtering out all of the viruses and bacteria, the chlorine. The taste is just amazing. Even here in our new farmhouse, we are on well water. We still use the Berkey. We've gotten used to the pure taste of water that you get from a Berkey water filter that is nothing like any of the other filters I've tried. I chose the Berkey water filter because of how many things and toxins that it filters out, but also the filter cost. It was the most economical system per gallon that I could find on the market, and I've been a happy customer ever since. Berkey has partnered with me and given me a special discount just for Simple Farmhouse Life podcast listeners. You can find the bundle deals that they have put together just for you over at bit.ly/farmhouseberkey. That's bit.ly/farmhouseberkey, B-E-R-K-E-Y, all one word. So get in on the bundle deal while they're still in stock. So after I go through what I purchased for this year and why I minimize so much and how, and then I'm also gonna talk a little bit about the kids and their wardrobes as well, I am gonna also answer a reader question in regards to teaching my kids to cook. This one came through on Instagram and I thought it probably wouldn't make an entire podcast episode, but would be good to at least share some insight about. Okay, so first of all, why the uniform concept anyways? I have a few reasons for it. Now, the first reason is simply practical in the amount of space that we have here in our farmhouse. We don't have any closets in this house. We do actually have one below the steps, and then the bathrooms have little like shelf linen closet type things, but there are no closets in the bedrooms. And so when we moved here, we purchased a bunch of armoires and we use those as our closets. And the way it's worked out in our bedroom is I have half of an armoire for all of my clothing. I don't have any stored away in the basement. In our last house, we had a closet, but it was pretty small. But then we also were able to fit two dressers in our bedroom, so I could keep a lot more clothing in there. And because of that, I did. But after living with very few clothes for a couple of years, I think I would do this no matter what. So the first reason is that I always know what to wear. I think about my whole wardrobe about twice a year, my cold weather wardrobe and my warm weather wardrobe. Mostly they extend through. So like the spring and summer wardrobe will extend through, and then, you know, hot days in fall. Basically, I wait until it's comfortably either hot or cold to swap things out. And I make it last all through cold weather and hot weather with some things that transition in between whenever we're still in those weird months. So in my armoire, I have this large bottom drawer, and that is where I keep everything off season that I'm actually keeping for the next year. And then all of the drawers that are more accessible, that is where I keep the current on season clothes. So it's how I swap out for myself is by just swapping down to that bottom drawer and then the side drawers. Whereas with the kids, I actually do keep some things in the basement. The other reason is that impulse buys don't happen. I make this very intentional buying of my uniform where I go out, or really it's online, and purchase five or six things, and that's my uniform for the year. Now, sometimes it'll happen that I didn't get enough things and I think, oh, I don't really have an outfit for this occasion. And then I'll end up buying something else for that. But other than that, it's a very intentional choice and I'm not ever just shopping just because. And I really wouldn't be able to do that anyways. I don't really enjoy shopping, but also just with the number of kids that I have, I don't love going into stores and looking for things. So this is a very practical thing. I choose these items that are gonna be my wardrobe for the season. I buy them, it's done until it gets cold again. So I don't actually have a specific number. I know that when I first started hearing about this, there were people who did a capsule wardrobe and had a certain number of tops and pants, and I don't really do that. I just do what makes me feel like I have enough clothes that I'm not wearing the same thing every day. Now, I am wearing the same thing at least a couple times per week, but it is helpful too because we do laundry every day. In order to keep on top of it, we just throw the clothes in. A lot of times we even just wear clothes right out of the dryer. They don't even always all get put away. But the goal is that I don't have to wait for things to be dry to wear, but I also don't have so many clothes that there's a bunch of things just sitting in the drawers not being worn. So at the end of each season, so this happened recently, I believe it was last week, it was comfortably in the hot weather time. I took all of my cold weather stuff, put it in the bottom drawer, but before doing that, I went through it. And I usually go through it with three piles. One is the donate pile, one is the trash pile, and one is what I'm gonna keep for next year. Now, sometimes the donate pile does get divided into things that are just to bring to the thrift shop, and then sometimes I have somebody specific in mind, like, oh, my sister would like this or something like that. Now, the way I actually decide what gets discarded is what did I actually wear? And I have to be really honest with myself. This part's hard because sometimes you think it's a really nice item and so therefore you should keep it because it's valuable, it's worth something, it should be a nice item. But if I never chose it for whatever reason, maybe it just fits a little bit tight in the calves or it's a little short, you know, the things that you always pick around, you never wear even though they're a nice thing, I get rid of those without hesitation. I just completely go through it very with this in mind that next year when I pull these clothes out, I want to love every single thing in my closet. So I don't have to pick around things. I can just grab something and wear it. I want to have five things that I love equally versus 10 things that half of them I don't even want to wear or more. So we all do that. I had so many things shoved in the back of my closet when we used to have a closet that I never intended to wear, and I don't miss them at all. I don't miss having to rifle through that. I learned this over the years with my kids. Each year when I would go to swap out their winter and summer clothes, I would find that there were clothes that were pristine and preserved underneath all of these tattered and stained clothes that had holes in it that was totally ready to be discarded. Clothes with tags on it. They had so many clothes that we missed ones that were really nice. And that is what I don't want to happen. I don't want to feel like I need to constantly be shopping. It's just this very intentional choosing of a wardrobe for the season. It's done. It's a job I can check off my list. So what did I choose this year? So with it being May, almost June, I chose dresses. I believe I purchased 5 new dresses. I had a few from last year and that's it. I don't plan to wear any shorts, any jeans. I am just going to live in dresses through about October, whenever it gets cold, which is usually about mid to late October here. The day that I actually did the shopping, I got online and I really was intrigued by the idea of wrap dresses. I feel like they're flattering on everybody no matter what. Every wrap dress I've owned, I've really loved. And I wanted dresses that weren't super short because I find that when you put your clothes in the dryer, even if they've already been pre-shrunk, they do still shrink a little bit. And I just prefer dresses that are a little bit longer. So I was searching for, I believe the search term I used was midi wrap dress. And something came up on Nordstrom Rack and it ended up suggesting a whole bunch of different things. I put the whole thing together in about 20 to 30 minutes on Nordstrom Rack, and they were all really inexpensive, and it was just like this super easy job. Now for the kids, I did that job about 2 weeks ago, and it's a much bigger one. I pull up from the basement, I always have one giant bin that's labeled extra kid clothes, and at this point that has become all boy clothes. Then I have one bin for my oldest daughter and one bin for my second daughter, and then one giant bin for the four younger boys. The girls do this job themselves. They're old enough to go through and get rid of whatever clothes they didn't wear from the winter, put that in a donate pile, just like I do with mine, pick out things that are good for this summer. Now I do have to go in there and help a little bit, because sometimes they'll keep things that they really like that they don't realize aren't their size, that doesn't really fit them anymore. So I do check their work, but I have them bring their little bins back down to the basement with the winter clothes. Now for the boys, I just get everything out of their drawers, throw away anything that has any holes, any stains. It's hard because you think, oh, I could patch this. In reality, I'm not going to. And I don't want them to have any possible option to choose something that isn't nice. I have to make it really foolproof for my four little boys, because they'll just choose anything. It could have holes in the knees, it won't matter. Except obviously Daniel doesn't dress himself, but the other boys will choose something wrong if they have the option to. So I try to make their little armoire full of items that they can choose and very minimal, just like mine. About 5 pairs of shorts per kid, 5 t-shirts, that's it. Now, before I take all of the big, giant, extra kid clothes bin back down to the basement, I do make sure that each kid has one hoodie, one pair of jeans. For example, this weekend we're about to have weather in the 60s with a low of the 40s. So there are random times throughout the summer where they still need that. But for the most part, I feel comfortable putting most everything else in the basement and just keeping this really minimal wardrobe. So for reference, my 8-year-old and 5-year-old boys, they each have 2 small drawers. They're half of an armoire size, so they're just these small drawers. One for shirts, one for shorts per kid, one underwear drawer, and one pajama drawer. And then my 1-year-old and 3-year-old, they have a standard larger dresser, not an armoire in their room, and they each have one large drawer. So there's actually 2 drawers in that dresser that are completely empty, completely unused, and that's how I like it, because we just constantly do laundry, throw it back in. There's just not this mountain of laundry. We try to avoid that by having fewer clothes. And then the older boys also do have one side where I hang button-up shirts. But they very rarely wear those, and honestly, I would just put them in a drawer if they didn't have an armoire style with the hanging rack. So for the younger boys, they have a few button-up shirts and they just go right in with the jammies and the regular clothes, just one drawer, just enough to wear. My strategy is that there are so few clothes that you make it through the whole season, but by the end of the season, a lot of it can just be gone. It's ripped up, it's stained, it has holes, and it can get thrown away. Now, of course, there are always a few nice items like denim jeans. Actually, the boys often even ruin those. But for me, I do always have some jeans that carry through, some sweaters that have lasted for years, a few dresses that are of a little bit more durable, sturdy fabric that last years. But there are a lot of items that I truly wear out and the kids truly wear out, which I like, because you're gonna eventually do it anyway. You might as well be able to, with each new year, have so few from the year before that you wore so many things out that you can choose something new. So our opinions change on what we like. The fashion styles change ever so slightly. And if you didn't have a whole lot from the year before, you can build on that and add as your preferences change. Now this next week on my YouTube channel on Tuesday, I am actually sharing my wardrobe. You can see one dress here if you're watching here on my Simple Farmhouse Life podcast YouTube channel, you can see one of the dresses that I chose. But on my Farmhouse on Boone YouTube channel this coming Tuesday, I'm going through my entire wardrobe for this upcoming season. So I'm sharing each outfit, each dress really, because that's what I ended up doing, and my thought process behind what I chose. So on this podcast, I can't obviously explain exactly what I chose, but I can explain the strategy behind keeping a really minimal wardrobe and why it works for us. But if you do want to see those exact things, you can head over to the Farmhouse on Boone YouTube channel on Tuesday for that. If you want to know where to get started on something like this, I would recommend not waiting for a season change. So right now, it's summer. If this is something that you want to try to minimize messes, so if your kids pull all the clothes out whenever they are trying to get dressed, like mine sometimes are prone to doing, it's less clothes in general, less, I mean, obviously you have the same amount of laundry, but you don't let laundry pile up because there just aren't that many clothes, less choices, you wear the nicest things, everything you pull out can be nice. If that's something you want to do, I'd recommend getting all of the clothes out at one time. Now you can go through and choose one person of the family and do this individually, especially if you have a huge amount of clothes, it might be difficult to implement this. But go into one child, for example, pull out all their clothes, give it an honest look and say, what is something that they never wear? Either just doesn't fit them right, they've outgrown it. I hesitate to even save things for the potential of having another child or something like that, because the child could be a boy or a girl. And like, for example, for my first couple girls, I remember saving everything. And I have not had a baby girl in almost 11 years. So obviously none of that saving did anything. I ended up getting rid of it, it's gone. Now I just would rather give it to someone who can use it now. So for example, I bought some clothes at the beginning of the fall for Daniel, some really sweet little romper onesie type things with their long pants and sleeves, but they have open footies that were good for when he first started pulling up, things like that. And my sister has a 6-month-old, so I just passed all of it on to her. They're still nice. I bought about 5 or 6 of them. He wore them all the time, but they're still in pretty good condition. And rather than save it for a potential baby boy, I just passed on to somebody I know, my sister, who has a baby boy. And that means less hassle for me in categorizing and reorganizing, and then a way to bless someone else with something that they currently need. And so that is just my strategy. I find the less items I have in this house, even if they're stored away in the basement, because even when I have a bunch of stuff stored away in the basement, there's the potential for kids to get into it. Also, whenever I go to find it again, I lose it. I don't even remember that I have that bin. And then a lot of times I find that things just get completely wasted. No one uses it at all. I have to reorganize bins, like move one bin to find a bin that I'm looking for, move this massive kids' clothes bin to find the summer bin that I actually need with the life jackets and the goggles. Just less items in general that I have to manage in my house, whether they be stored away or not, is what works best for me. And that is partially a personality thing. So some people are more organized and nothing they have ever gets to a state of disorganization and chaos because they're just really good at it. I am not that person and I know that. So saving something for the future doesn't really always work for me. Now there are certain things, totally. Like if Eli outgrew some really nice jeans that Jude can wear next year, I'm saving that because I'll be getting it out of my extra kids clothes bin, which is very easy, one bin, and I will for sure be using that this fall. I know for sure because I have a boy right under him and another boy under him, so that I will save because I will need it. But saving things just in case, that is usually where I draw the line. So if that's something you want to attempt, I recommend pulling out all of the nicest things, getting rid of anything that has an imperfection in it. I mean, you know, obviously minor is good. And then writing down what you need to fill the gaps, like, okay, we need a nice pair of jeans because all the others have holes in them. Getting a list, going to a nicely organized resale shop. That's become my favorite thing. We have a couple of consignment shops in our area that are very nicely organized. So it's almost like going to Target, but cheaper and more options. And fill in those gaps, make it a twice a year intentional thing, and be done with it. Okay, now on to the reader question that I received and wanted to address. Will you teach your daughters to cook? How will you go about that? I've literally never met someone who knew how to cook when they got married, including myself. Seems like no one is teaching it. It seems weird to not have any teaching, even from mothers who themselves cooked for their families. Just something I've been thinking about. So, yes, and actually just yesterday, I had this moment with my daughter. I have one daughter who is really interested in cooking and one daughter that is really interested in sewing. And then as for my sons, the oldest son is interested in cooking. I'm not exactly sure about the ones below him just yet who is interested in cooking. But I find that sometimes kids can be around something a lot and not necessarily learn how to do it, because it does have to be an intentional thing because it is a hassle. So for example, yesterday we were making pasta, which we don't do very much because it is such a thing. You have to make the dough, you put it through the roller, then the cutter, and then you hang it to dry. But it's also fun and it's a skill I like to have, and it's obviously delicious. And my 10-year-old wanted to help. And she is my daughter who's always around when I'm cooking. So she does have a lot of cooking skills just by being around it. And she kept saying, I wanna do it. And I was like thinking, gosh, we have such a mess in this kitchen. I just wanna get this over with. But I decided to put her on it completely. I showed her how to do it. You start the little pasta roller at the 8 setting and you move it down a couple notches each time till it's thin enough and you cut it. And then I just let her go. It wasn't perfect. There was a huge mess. But now I am confident that I could send that girl inside if we're all outside doing garden work or whatever, and she can make pasta. So ultimately, it will be a help to me, even if you have to do something slower and maybe messier than you wanted to. I am in the process of teaching my girls to cook, and it's not always, like, we don't do cooking lessons. It's just this intentional choice when they're around and asking them to do something for me. So my oldest, she's not super interested in it, but I will just tell her, hey, I want you to make this, look up the recipe and just read it and follow the directions. Now my second child, she would rather watch a YouTube video to do it, but I let them have full reign. Like, they can make things completely by themselves without me monitoring at all. Now I always do light the oven because we have a gas oven that we have to light with a match or a lighter. But the best way to teach something is to, once they read, give them the recipe, the instructions, and just say, all right, you might mess it up, but here you go. Because the thing is, as a busy mom, which most likely if you have, you know, more than one child, you are, I don't always have time to stand there and give the full instructions. But I can tolerate a mess and I can tolerate mess ups. And so I can just let them go. Now, I will give instruction if I see something went wrong. So for example, last week, one of my kids made cookies and they all flattened out. And so, you know, I told her what I know, which is you need to add more flour next time. The cookies will flatten out if you don't add enough flour. And so it's just a lot of that. They're around it. I give them my pointers when I see something failed. We still ate the cookies. We still ate any pasta that was broken and not, you know, super long. And I'm okay with that kind of experimentation. So that is my method of teaching to cook. They're around it all the time. They're here. We talk about it. And I let them experiment and fail and just make a huge mess and use this kitchen. And I have found that it's paid off because I do have kids that could cook a dinner from start to finish. So sometimes I'll send somebody in and just tell them, hey, will you please start dinner for me? I need you to brown some beef, warm tortillas, cut up an avocado, make guacamole. We're gonna have tacos tonight. That kind of thing. I can send them in for those kind of easy dinners while we're working on something outside and they can fully handle it. And so it benefits you too. Mm-hmm. And if you're cooking and your kids are around and you make sure you give them time and entertain any questions they have and let them dig in a little bit too, they will learn to cook. Now, don't worry, because I find this happens too with younger moms. I know I thought when I had my 5-year-old and 3-year-old daughters, I have to teach them to cook. They're never gonna learn to cook. And it's very short-sighted and focused on the right now. And I didn't realize that they would someday be 12 and 10 and it wouldn't actually be hard to teach them to cook. So I did the same thing with sewing. I beat myself up because I know how to sew. I can sew a dress, skirt, apron, whatever. And when my daughter was about 7 or 8, I remember feeling really guilty. Like, I still have not taught Ruthie how to sew. How is this? I sew and I still haven't even taught her how. Well, despite my taking the time to teach my daughter to sew, eventually she wanted her own sewing machine. She started, you know, learning a few things here and there. She came to me and asked me a question and I, you know, stopped and helped her with that specific question. Her machine came unthreaded. I helped her with that, showed her how to do it. Well, now with just me stepping in with her interest and her questions whenever she had them, so never like, we're gonna do sewing lessons today, Ruthie. Just her having the interest and me being there to help her when problems arise or questions arise, she now can sew just about anything. She can sew skirts and scrunchies and bags and doll clothes and anything she wants to sew because of her self-motivated interest at age 12. So don't worry, because I know that that happens, especially with young moms not being able to see the future and feeling like, okay, I only have this many years left with them. Those years are long. Like, you will have so much time. I mean, really, the years are short. They go by in a flash, but there will be so much time for them to develop an interest and then learn something. Even if you don't sit down and do sewing lessons or you don't do cooking lessons, this kind of learning, if you're there and available to let them try things and provide the tools they need to do something, will happen if the environment is created, if you see what I'm saying. So like my daughter, she had a sewing machine for years and then it finally just went out. And so we went to the shop and got her a new sewing machine. I buy her thread and fabric and make sure she's well stocked to explore that interest. I give her resources because I'm not always there doing sewing lessons with her. I just don't have the time. I have a baby that needs me to hold him. I have videos to make, but I am available for questions and give them everything they need to explore an interest that they can learn on their own. And kids will do that if given the right environment. And the same exact thing happens with cooking. It just will. It'll happen out of necessity, out of interest. It just will. So if you want to give kids a little bit more freedom too, you know, maybe give them one night a week where they can decide what the meal is on the meal plan. I'm not that organized, so things just happen on the fly. Like I said, I'll be outside, my daughter will be there, she'll be like, hey, should we make dinner? And I'll be like, you know what, yes. There's some ground beef in the fridge. Go inside and make something with it. And then by the time I come in, she'll have made a dessert too, and it just kind of happens. So that was a long way to say that yes, my daughters and whoever else is interested in it will be able to cook when they leave here. And any other interests that I know and understand that they are interested in, I will be there to facilitate that interest as well. All right, well, thank you so much for watching / listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. If you have not yet, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss one of my Simple Farmhouse Life podcast episodes. Also, I am going to have them back up on my farmhouseonboone.com website again very soon. The player went away for a while, but I'm actually getting a whole new blog redesign, website redesign that I'm super excited about. There'll be a whole podcast page with most popular episodes, and you can check that out if you are wanting to listen on the website. It'll be there. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in episode 96 of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.